Welcome to the Society Podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? This is Zisu back again. East Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. And this is another special edition. But before I go any further, it's the news.
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? We're back. My Oscar watch. I'm finally done. I got all 10 movies in. And I'm going to finally talk about all of them really quick, because I pretty much already discussed them all on the regular show. I finally got the very last film in, and then I'm kind of going to rank it from 10 to 1. And when we get to 1, that's the one that I want. That's my pick, hopefully, for Best Picture. But I don't know. We'll see. But shout out to Lily Gladstone. I see that she won another award for her acting. I think it was the SAG Awards. I'm not sure. It's some one of those ones, but
it was on Netflix this year. Did you see that?
Oh, it was. I just saw hers. But
it
also
just happened to turn on Netflix when it was airing live, and it was like live now. You know, press play. So I pressed play, and yeah, it was going. It was right in the middle. It was like Meryl Streep was on the stage. Like, oh, okay.
Speaking of live Netflix, Raw. WWE Raw is going to Netflix. I see that they got a deal, and it's going to be live every Monday. So I'm like, all right, well, I can't watch it live. I'll watch it when I get home after work. But they're bouncing all over the place. I mean, they were on USA, and then they went to Fox. I know SmackDown was on Fox. But then, I don't know. Now it's on Hulu, and I guess that thing is up, so now they're going to Netflix. So we'll see how that goes. But all right, everyone, this is my Oscar nominee Best Picture of 2023 list. It was a long journey. I got through all of them. I went to the theater for 1, 2, 3, 4. Four of these films, and the other ones, one of them was Paramount. The one was Netflix, one was Amazon, and one was Peacock. And the other ones, well, only two of them really. My friend, she is an actress, so she they send her screeners to vote, so I had to go sit at her house and watch these movies with her. So shout out to her. It was really cool to sit there and watch them. But all right, I am going to start off with number 10, and this is the final film that I watched, and this is The Zone of Interest, PG-13. It was 1 hour and 45 minutes. Auschwitz Commandant Rudolf Haas, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that right, because it's got those two little dots over the O, so I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. And his wife, Hedwig, strive to build a dream life for their family in the house and garden beside the camp. This was directed by Jonathan Glazer, written by Martin Amis and Jonathan Glazer, and this stars, ooh, I'm going to butcher all of these names. Christian Friedel, Sandra Hüller. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong because it's got the little dots over the U. Jonathan Carthaus, Louis Noah Witt, Lily Falk, and a bunch of other people that I'm just going to ruin their names. All right. The final film that I watched in my Oscar watch. Oh, my God. This one was a chore. It was super duper slow. But I did love how they filmed it. It was amazing cinematography. The visuals of what they showed. They're not showing any of the stuff that's going on in Auschwitz. But how they did it, it left it up to your imagination. And that was probably the eeriest part of this film. Because we got this family. And this commandant guy, he's just doing his thing, going to work every day at Auschwitz and then coming home trying to provide for his family. Kids are going to school. I have no idea where the school is. They didn't show any of that. But the wife and her and their servants are just trying to take care of the house. A nice house. They keep it clean. They got a nice garden in their backyard. But there's it's right next to the camp. So there's the big wall right there and the barbed wire. There's some kind of far back shots, and you can see the smokestacks and the, I assume the buildings or whatever that were over there that were housing everyone. And the eeriest part of this film is you could hear everything that's going on the other side of the wall. They don't show any of it. You're hearing it, and you can just imagine what's going on, the hell that's going on the other side of that wall. There's one scene where they show the commandant, and he's in all in his little Nazi gear, and he's just it's like a profile shot of him. You see all this smoke, and you hear all these people screaming. There's a lot of screams in it. You just hear, and you hear gunshots, and then you see smoking smokestacks. They talk about this new incinerator room. They don't say we're loading it up with people. They just said, oh, just load it up, start it up, and then when it's done burning, go in there, sweep everything out, then load it up some more. I was like, God, it was just crazy talk like that. And I'm glad they didn't show anything. I mean, I've seen Schindler's List. I've seen the other Boy in the Striped Pajamas, which, oh, I can never watch that one again. The Pianist. I think it was called It's a Beautiful Life. That one, like, he won Best Actor for that one. I can't remember his name. But you just know what's going on over there. And it was just eerie. Because the people are just, Dura, mom and her kids are in the backyard planting plants. And you just hear gunshots. And you hear people screaming. You hear kids screaming. You hear babies crying. And soldiers, the Nazis, just yelling. You have to read the whole movie. It's all in German. And I was like, oh, man. I mean, my mind is just, I'm not even really focusing on what's on the screen. My mind is just visualizing what's happening on the other side of that wall. And I was just like, oh, my God. I mean, this movie flew by pretty fast. There isn't much. It's just family drama in it. And then you just hear all that in the background. But how they filmed this film, it was kind of like artsy. It kind of reminded me of, if you guys seen that movie, A Thin Red Line. I think it was a World War II movie. That movie was boring. That was also up for Best Picture. So I had to go to the theater and see that. And I just remember sitting there thinking, when is this movie over? Because it was just so boring. I probably have to rewatch it again. Maybe I was just a little young and just couldn't appreciate it. But I was just like, But there's some scenes where they're showing flowers. They'll just show a flower for like maybe half a minute. But you hear the sounds over the wall on what's going on. So I kind of liked how they filmed it. Again, it's really artsy. I don't think I can sit through this film again. It was just, there just wasn't a lot happening. And it was just the horror that was going on the other side of the wall that was kind of getting to me. I mean, you guys know me, all the craziness and violence and death that I watch. But when you know something happened, like in real life, that's when this stuff bugs me. But I won't tell what happened at the end. But if you feel like seeing it, I'm sure it's going to be streaming really soon, probably after the Oscars and everything. I know you can rent it now, but I don't think you want to drop $20. Well, I guess you pay that if you go to the theater and see it. And let's just say however much your gas costs to get to the movies, your $10 to get in, and if you get a drink and popcorn and all that. This is one of those movies I couldn't sit there and eat anything and watch it. I just had to sit there and watch it. But I can see why it was up for Best Picture. So if you guys have any interest, check out The Zone of Interest. And that's coming in number 10 for me on this list. The next one, my number 9, this is a film that Zisu liked. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't what I wanted it to be. So coming in at my number 9 spot, this is The Holdovers. A cranky history teacher at a remote prep school is forced to remain on campus over the holidays with a grieving cook and a troubled student who has no job, who has no place to go. Directed by Alexander Payne. And this stars Golden Globe winner Paul Giamatti, Divine Joy Rudolph, Dominic Sessa, Carrie Preston, Brandi Heppner, Ian Dolly, Jim Coplin, Michael Provis, and a bunch of other people. We already discussed this one. I enjoyed the movie. The Zisu enjoyed it a little more than me. It just wasn't what I want. It was set during the holidays somewhere back east. But, yeah, The Holdovers. I mean, I can see why it was nominated for Best Picture. But, yeah, it didn't do it for me. This is streaming on Peacock for those of you that have it, or you can rent it on Amazon for $5.99. Anything to say about this one?
No, I mean, I really liked it. I thought you would. So yeah, like I said before, a big miss for me on that prediction. But yeah, we'll see how it does as far as actual awards.
I don't know if he's up for Best Actor. Because if he is, I want to say it would be out of... Okay, here are the best actors. Paul Giamatti, Bradley Cooper, Colman Domingo, Cillian Murphy, Jeffrey Wright. Paul Giamatti won the Golden Globe. I'm not sure if he won the SAG one. But if I have to pick out of these five... Ooh, it's out of Jeffrey Wright and Bradley Cooper. I'm going to go Bradley Cooper. Who would you pick out of these guys? Well, I guess
Paul Giamatti, just because.
Did you see Oppenheimer yet?
No, I thought it's there. But...
Oh, man, what are you waiting for? You have to watch it.
It's 3 hours.
Man, I sat in the theater and watched it. You're sitting at home. all right, everyone. It was number 9, The Holdovers. Number 8, Anatomy of a Fall. It's rated R, 2 hours and 30 minutes. Like I said, it's a slow burn, and it's a courtroom drama. Prime Video, you can rent it for $5.99. Crime drama thriller. A woman is suspected of murder after her husband's death. Their half-blind son faces a moral dilemma as the main witness. This is directed by Justine Treat. I think that's how you say her name. And it stars Sandra Huller, Swan Arlaud. I think that's how you say his name. And Milo Manchado Garner, Anthony Renzart, and a bunch of other people. It was a really, really good movie. I liked what was happening. I loved everybody in it that was acting. Little boy kind of got on my nerves, but he had a lot on his plate to deal with. If you like courtroom dramas, then this would be the movie for you. You have to read the whole movie because it's in French, I believe. So I enjoyed the film. I mean, I'm not mad that I watched it, but it was just because when I read the premise of it, I was like, oh, this sounds interesting. It was just a slow burn. And they're not really focusing that much on cinematography or anything. It's more story and the acting in it. Like the main actors that are in it, the lawyers, the little boy. I mean, especially the main lady. She was Sandra Voiter. I think that was her name. That was her character name. She put like more than 110% into her acting. So I say, if you guys like these type of films, definitely check this one out. And that's Anatomy of a Fall. And that's coming in at my number 7 spot. All right. Number 8. Number seven. This one was 3 hours long. It was rated R. And this is, it's streaming on Peacock right now, or you can rent it. Oppenheimer, the story of an American scientist, J. Robert Oppenheimer, and his role in the development of the atomic bomb. Directed and written, directed by Christopher Nolan. Also written by Kai Bird and Martin Sherwin. And this stars Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr., Scott Grimes, Alden. Is it Enric? The guy that played Solo?
Yep.
Jason Clarke, Kurt Coyler, a bunch of other people. What's his name as well? Academy Award winner. Encino Man. The Mummy. What's his name?
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, he won for The Whale. Him, he's in it too. He's one of the lawyers at the end. It was a really good film. I learned a lot. I don't know how right the story was with this. But when you go for Christopher Nolan, you want good cinematography, and there was a lot in it. Good sound, amazing. I just was kind of bummed that we really didn't get to see the explosion. I mean, they show it, but I wanted to be... It was shot in IMAX, so you figured, oh, it would be this big extravaganza shot of the film, and it was just like it blew up, and then that was it. I was kind of like, ah, but it was an interesting story, and yeah, he went through a lot. I assume Cillian Murphy is his boy, because he's in what, how many of his films?
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah. So, but Oppenheimer, it's on Peacock, so definitely check it out. It is in the theater again. I don't know if it's an IMAX. But if it is an IMAX showing in your area, because they brought back all these films that are up for Best Picture, go see it that way. And Oppenheimer is coming in number seven on my list. The next one, this one is on Netflix. And you can check this out. And this is rated R, and it's 2 hours and 9 minutes. And this is Maestro. This love story chronicles the lifelong relationship of conductor-composer Leonard Bernstein and actress Felicia Cohen Bernstein. Directed by Bradley Cooper, written by Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer. And the stars, Carey Mulligan, Bradley Cooper, Matt Bomer, Vincenzo Antimo, Michael Urie, Greg Hilditch, and a ton of other people. I went back and watched the beginning because my initial review, I was said I was bored the first half of the film when it was all in black and white. I wasn't really paying attention. I was just poking on my phone. And then when it turned to color, I was like all in on the movie. So I was like, you know what? I got to go back for a complete watch. So let me go back and watch the beginning again. And the beginning was pretty interesting. I mean, I think it was more that I was so into the end. I liked what was happening. I liked the way they shot it. Black and white, a small square. It wasn't wide shots, even when it got color. The set designs, the costumes, the makeup on how they made Bradley Cooper look young. The little prosthetic nose he had to look like Leonard Bernstein, and as he got older and everything. So, but it was a really good film. It was a good love story. I enjoyed all of that. I can enjoy a good love story, but. I don't know. It was good. I think it's in the theater, maybe in some places. I don't know if it's everywhere in the theater because I want to say it was in Reno. But I mean, this is worth definitely watching. If you, on my initial review, I said I've only heard of Leonard Bernstein in that REM song. So, but if you guys have any interest on who he is, I mean, I highly recommend this film. It's a really good movie. I love what Bradley Cooper did. He's up for Best Actor, but I chose what's his nuts. But anyway, that's coming in. Maestro's coming in number six on mine. All right. This next one, this is for number five. It's rated PG-13. It's 1 hour and 54 minutes. Did it need to be that long? No, it didn't. But I enjoyed every minute of Barbie. Barbie and Ken are having a time of their lives in the colorful and seemingly perfect world of Barbie Land. However, when they get a chance to go to the real world, they soon discover the joys and perils of living among humans. This is directed by Greta Gerwig, also written by her, and Noah Baumbach. I think that's his name. And this stars Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, Issa Rae, the great Kate McKinnon, Emma McKinney, Alexandra Shipp, Simu Liu. He was Shang-Chi, right?
Yes.
Yep. John Cena. And a bunch of other people in this. Oh, and what's his nuts? Ron Burgundy. Will Ferrell.
Did you see what Werner Herzog just said about this?
What did he say?
You know, that was he's director and he was the client in Mandalorian. You that guy, right?
Yeah.
He only saw the first 30 minutes and he described it as sheer hell. You can imagine that guy, the way he talks, you know. It was sheer hell.
I had no interest in this movie for when I first talked about it. I had no interest. I had no idea it would even be considered for Best Picture. It's streaming on Max if you guys have that. But see, every movie I went to see, they, I guess that was their psychological warfare play. Let's show this trailer with every single movie to get it in everyone's head. It got in my head. I saw this trailer like a billion times out of every movie that I had seen. It was all over Instagram when you get those ads. It was all over TikTok and Facebook. I was like, what? But then I was like, you know what? I mean, I love Ryan Gosling, Margot Robbie. I can take her or leave her. Beautiful young woman. So I'm like, all right, let me just go see this. And man, this movie was awesome. Shout out to Breeze for getting me the Steelbook. But yeah, this movie was hella good. I loved it. It didn't make my best of list, but it was hella good.
Sheer hell?
No, it was awesome. It was like awesomeness all the way through from beginning to end. Oh, what's his dumbass is in? I forgot. Ryan Gosling. Or not Ryan Gosling. The super bad dude, the guy I hate. Michael Cera. Oh, he was also in this. But Renee watched it. I kept telling her, you need to see this. You need to watch this. So she finally sat down and watched it. And she goes, that was pretty good. She thought it was going to be stupid. I did too. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people who didn't want to see it thought it was going to be stupid. Because one of my buddies was like, man, it looked like it was going to be terrible. But he just got a new girlfriend. She wanted to see it. And you guys know how that goes. So you just go. And he was like, man, I think I enjoyed it more than her. But I think the biggest shock to me was when they were showing, when they announced that Barbie and Margot Robbie was going to be Barbie. All right, cool. Right on. I mean, she could be Barbie. Ryan Gosling was the one I was shocked at. Because if you guys look at his filmography, he's like serious. He did a comedy here and there, like those dark comedies, but he's a serious actor. And for him to be Ken, I was like, really? I was like, okay. But man, he was my favorite. Well, him, Kate McKinnon was my all. She was the all-star of this film. But Ryan Gosling was hella good in this as Ken. And everybody that was Ken and all the different Barbies, the costumes, the cinematography, the set design of Barbie Land was just amazing. So, I mean, I loved it so much. I got the movie twice. I bought the regular 4K, and then Breeze hooked me up with the Steelbook. They didn't have a Steelbook release in here in America, so all the way from Germany. Shout out again. Thank you so much. But yeah, Barbie is my number 5 spot. All right. This next one, it was during my broken ankle movie watching. It was Upstairs. Shout out to the kid that brought up my popcorn and my drink for me because I had to crutch it upstairs. And this is rated R, 3 hours and 26 minutes. It's streaming on Apple TV, or you can rent it on Prime for $20. This is Killers of the Flower Moon. When oil is discovered in the 1920s, Oklahoma under Osage Nation land, the Osage people are murdered one by one until the FBI steps in to unveil the mystery. This is directed by Academy Award winner Martin Scorsese, Eric Roth, Martin Scorsese, and David Gran are writers, and the stars. Academy Award winner Leonardo DiCaprio, Academy Award winner Robert De Niro, Jesse Plemons, John Lithgow, Golden Globe and SAG winner Lily Gladstone, Tantu Cardinal, Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser, Cara Jade Myers. Wait a minute, what that brought up? What did I bring? Oh, he was an Oppenheimer. Yeah, he was an Oppenheimer. I think. Nope, I'm sorry. When I said Brendan Fraser, I was thinking of this movie because it was a lawyer thing. He wasn't in Oppenheimer. He was in this film, Brendan Fraser. Anyway, Tatanka Means, William Below, Jillian Dion, Jane Collins. She was my favorite in this whole film. Hopefully I get to meet her at Indigipop X. That's happening in April in Oklahoma City. I'm going to fly out there for that. She's going to be there, so I definitely... hopefully it comes out on Blu-ray or whatever before so I can get it signed. But this movie, it was good. Did it need to be 3.5 hours long? No. They could have took... I think they could have made their point in less than 3 hours. 2:45 maybe. I don't know. But it made you hate Robert De Niro, his character. And then it made you hate Leonardo. But Lily Gladstone was the all-star of this film. Cara Jade Myers as well. She was amazing. And Jane Collins. No, Cara Jade Myers is going to be in Digipop X. She was my favorite. She played Anna. So, but anyway, amazing, amazing film. It did make my best of lists. It is not my number one pick here on my list. But if you have Apple TV or whatever they're calling it, and you have 3.5 hours time to kill, it's definitely worth a watch. You don't have to sit there and watch it all in 3.5 hours. You can watch an hour, take a break, watch it the next night or whatever. But I thought it was an amazing film. But yeah, it's Killers of the Flower Moon. And my fingers are crossed that Lily Gladstone walks away with the Best Actress during the Oscars. All right. Number four. This is a film I kind of had no interest in, but I have to watch it because it was nominated for Best Picture. And man, this movie was awesome. It's rated PG-13. It's 1 hour and 45 minutes. And this is Past Lives. Nora and Hae-sung, two deeply connected childhood friends, were wrested apart after Nora's family immigrates from South Korea. 20 years later, they are reunited for one fateful week as they confront notions of love and destiny. This is written and directed by Celine Song, and this stars John Magaro. He's the only name I can pronounce. Everyone else, I'm not even going to try all the Korean names. But the main two actors that are in this film, Nora and Hae-sung, they were awesome. Hae-sung, man, he was, I would say he was the all-star in this, because, brother, I don't know how you, if this was real life, I'll give it to him for not really, really confessing his love. I mean, they kind of both did confess their love, but they actually didn't say it. But, oh my God, this is streaming on Paramount Plus. I watched this movie twice. No! Well, twice, and I started it a third time, but I fell asleep. But yeah, this movie was awesome. I loved it. It was such an amazing love story, and I was just at the end. So, but if you guys have any interest, you have Paramount Plus, do check out Past Lives. All right. Coming in at number two. This is a film that I just talked about on the last episode, and this movie was nuts. It was rated R. It was 2 hours and 21 minutes, and this is Poor Things. The incredible tale about the fantastical evolution of Bella Baxter, a young woman brought back to life by a brilliant and unorthodox scientist, Dr. Goodwin Baxter. This is directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. I think that's how you say his name. Written by Tony McNamara. I think that's how you say his name. And Alcidere Gray. Stars, Emma Stone. I think she won Academy Award for La La Land, but I'm not really sure. Mark Ruffalo, William Dafoe, Rami Youssef, Vicky Pepperdling, Jack Burton, or Barton, Atla Dobai, and a bunch of other people. I won't go into the whole thing again. Just know it's nuts. If sex isn't a movie for you, don't see it. Oh, yesterday when I was coming back from the Bay Area, I was in Pleasant Hill. I stopped into the movie theater to get a bag of popcorn, those big bags of popcorn to go. And there was a older couple behind me, and they were talking about it. And the husband was like, "What are we seeing?" She was like, "Poor Things. I hear it's really good." And he's, "Well, what's it about?" She goes, "It's kind of a weird story." I said, I turned around and went, "It's really weird." And she went, "Oh, you saw it?" I said, "Yes." I didn't mention the sex part. I just said it was a weird movie.
Maybe you should have. Some people might want to know. That's not really a spoiler, and they might have wanted to know that.
Well, I just wanted them to be shocked. I told them it was weird, so that was about as much as I got in for them. But a lot of people were going in to see it. A lot of older couples. I want to know who all stuck around for the end. And like I said last week, I'm buying this as soon as it comes out because this movie was awesome.
What's the last movie you walked out of? It's a rare for me. I think I brought this up before. Yeah. That like I try to never do that, but one of the times Madonna movie from the late 90s, really early on in getting no breeze.
What was that remake?
She's like, "I really don't like this. Can we go?" And I was like, "I don't like to leave, but if you want to leave, you know, we can leave." So we did.
Swept Away? Was that it?
Maybe.
That Guy Ritchie movie that
yeah.
he remade?
Yeah.
I think it was called Swept. I don't know what it was called. I never saw it because everyone was
I was fine with it, but all of a sudden Breeze was like, "I really want to leave. This is terrible. Can we go?" And I was like, "Okay."
It was one of those movies that everybody was like, "It's terrible." Yeah, Swept Away. It came out in 2002. It was rated R, hour and 29 minutes, directed by Guy Ritchie.
Maybe made it half hour, maybe 40 minutes at the most.
A snooty socialite is stranded on a Mediterranean island with a communist sailor or communist. I don't know. I think I said that wrong, but I never seen this film. Everyone was bashing. I love Madonna, everyone. 80s Madonna. Let me get that straightened. But I've never seen this film because they were just saying it was terrible. Even Guy Ritchie himself, the director, was saying, "Don't go see this movie. It's terrible." I'm sure it was when Madonna was married to Guy Ritchie, so she kind of, "Why don't you direct this?" And he got paid, and it was just a terrible movie, and it bombed hard in the box office. But if it's just streaming, maybe I'll check it out. I don't know. We'll
but
see.
But yeah, all that said, can you remember any time you've like walked out or left?
The last movie I almost
feel walked, like it I, happens. It surprisingly happens like in movies like I go to and I'm like, "Damn, like really?" Like, and sometimes it's like not even like that bad of movies. Like, you know, like I'm like, "Wow, really?"
I just talked about A Thin Red Line. Or The Thin Red Line. It came out in 98. I was just sitting like, "When is this movie over?" I didn't walk out. You know what? I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
I mean,
you know which one a lot of people left, and it was interesting. Like, they didn't seem to like be against it. They actually seemed into it. Like, they were talking a lot, and then all of a sudden they just left. Was Fast 10. There was a bunch of people in that. I think when I reviewed it on the pod, I brought it up that like these people like kept talking, kept commenting. Like I said, they seemed to be into it, but then all of a sudden, like an hour in, they took off. They left.
When I saw Terrifier 2, the first kill in the film, which was like less than 10 minutes into the movie, this girl, there was a bunch of teenagers in the very top row. One of them, I can't take this. I need to leave, and left. And May, I felt sorry for that dude. He had to go get up and go with her. I was like, you're a better man than me, because I would have said, see ya. I want to see this film. They left, and then there was a grandma and her granddaughter in there. And they actually made the movie more enjoyable for me, because the grandma was like, she did not care. She was like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're showing this. Oh my God. Ah, and even the granddaughter was going, shh, grandma. Shh. She was like, I don't know. I didn't know it was going to be like this. Oh, man. But then she said, she goes, the first one wasn't this bad. And she goes, I don't remember it being that bad. The first one was pretty raw, but not as raw as Terrifier 2. They like took 10 more steps above the gore that they did in the first one. Right, and the director said, if you thought the second one was bad, wait for the third one, and I cannot wait for that to come out. Oh, man. Terrifier 2 was awesome. That was my favorite one out of the two. It was a lot. Sorry about the crying babies. It's bedtime. But, man, it was nuts. I wouldn't even put you through the first one. And I know dang well you would not sit. You would get up and walk out of the theater for the second one.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
It's rough, man. And I enjoyed every second of it. See, everyone, I can watch blood, guts, dismemberment, and babies getting crushed by gas pedals. If you guys seen a Human Centipede 2, I can watch all that stuff and not have an issue of it because I know it's fake. But Schindler's List, The Pianist, where they were showing the horror of the Nazis. The Zone of Interest, they don't show it, but you hear it, and you can picture it in your head what's going on over there. And like I said, man, it was only PG-13, and I was kind of like, oh, man, this is a little rough. Only because you're imagining it, and you hear the horror that's going on over the side of that wall. But all this violence and just craziness that I watch, I can sit there and enjoy it and have a good time. But that's me. I've just been desensitized by all these movies. Because some of the stuff that the Zisu hears, if you're new to the show, he'll like, oh, this is real horror-ish or horror-ish. Not horror, horror-ish. But I don't see it. I'm like, oh, that's cool, but it's nothing to me. Because I've seen a lot of extreme things.
Right.
I've seen I went down that list of disturbing films. Some of them I just thought were just stupid and didn't even flinch. The August Underground ones that everyone keeps telling me to see. I saw a couple of them and they're like, all right. I mean, they're just doing gore to do the gore. And I don't know. It just looks stupid to me, everyone. I mean, I get it if you enjoy those films. I can appreciate for what they were trying to do, but it just looked too fake for me. The one that bugged me, I don't know if it was a part of that series, was Slaughter Vomit Dolls. Just take the title for what it is. Don't look it up unless you're weird and crazy and you want to watch. Did I know damn well I couldn't even show you 5 seconds of one of the gruesome scenes in that. Dude, it was that bad.
Yikes.
One of my friends told me, dude, he was like, dude, watch this movie. And I was like, okay. So I sat down, I clicked on it, and I watched it. I sat through the whole movie. But I was like, oh my God. There was a couple of scenes where I was going,
yikes.
The last movie that when I was in the theater that made me like dry heave was the first Jackass movie when was it Danger Aaron? Yeah, it was Danger Aaron when he drank the yellow snow.
Cone. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah.
I was in the theater going,
but,
and I was laughing. But oh, those movies. Oh, but I think it was just that. Oh no, the Jackass 3D. I was all right when I took my son Kyle to go see it because he loved Jackass, so we went and saw it in theater. But when me and Tommy went to the, I don't know where you guys were. Tommy and I went to the Jackass 3D party at Comic-Con that was in that parking lot. Well, it was the same parking lot where they had the machete one the night before. But this was, it was during the day. I think you guys were at a panel or something.
Probably.
But Tommy and I went up to that, and they had like a little mobile theater, and they showed two scenes from it. It was one scene. If you guys seen Jackass 3D, it was when Steve-O was in the bungee poo-poo thing, whatever they call it. They put him in they put bungee cords on a porta potty, and it was full of, yeah. And then they shot him up in the air while he was strapped to the seat. And it was all in 3D. We were sitting there. Shout out to Eddie and Brenda. That's where we met them. Well, we met them at Machete, but they were at the Jackass party as well with us. Tommy and I were in there with them when we were watching it. Dude, that part made me go a couple times.
I bet, yeah.
Good times. But yeah, dude, I know what you can't watch, and I won't put you through that hell of blood and guts and craziness.
Sheer hell.
Yeah, I won't put you through any of that. But all right, everyone, this is my number one pick, and the film that I pick for Best Picture of 2023, it's a rated R, it's an hour and 57 minutes. I went to the theater and saw this with my wife. And this is American Fiction. A novelist who's fed up with the establishment profiting from black entertainment uses a pen name to write a book that propels him into the heart of the hypocrisy and madness he claims to disdain. This is directed by Cord Jefferson, also written by Percival Everett. And this stars Academy Award nominee Jeffrey Wright, Therese Ellis Ross, for you Blackish fans. And Mixed-ish, I love that show. John Ortiz, he was awesome in this. Erica Alexandra, for you Living Single fans. Leslie Uggams, I think I see her name. The amazing Adam Brody. The legend, Derry. Keith David, Issa Rae. And this guy, he was the all-star of the film. Sterling K. Brown and a bunch of other people in this film. All right, everyone. This movie was awesome. As I got maybe 20 minutes into the movie, and I said, I leaned over to Renee, this is my pick. She was like, what are you talking about? I said, this is my pick for Best Picture. Does it have a shot? I don't know.
Probably not.
The Academy,
I think it's all about like marketing and stuff, you know.
The Academy is wishy-washy and weird. But I don't know. I went there in there too, and it was a comedy drama. I went in there to, when I watch these films, I mean, I pay attention to what's happening. I pay attention to the acting. I really pay attention to the cinematography and how they shoot these films. But I liked everything about this. The acting and the story was the funniest, and it just made me laugh. Because I get what this character, how he was feeling and how he was just like this, what America thinks black people should act. And that's what they wanted, because there was a writer that wrote a book, and it was like all hoodish and everything, and everybody was going nuts for it. And he was like, this is stupid. Why does everyone love this? Why does everybody think black people act this way? And he was like, he just made up some story just to write something to see if he could do it. And he did it, and he gave it to his publisher. His publisher read it and was like, do you really want me to turn this in? And he was like, yeah. He didn't think it was going to get anywhere. But the people that put out books loved it. I assume it was only because of that other, it was a female, a black author. I think it was because that book was so big. They said, this is probably the next big book. And it turned out to be one of the biggest, but I think it was bigger than the other lady's book. I think he was going to call it like Pathology or something like that. Or I can't remember what he was going to call it, but he ended up changing. He was like, I changed the title. And he's like, well, he goes, it's going to be called Fuck. And he was like, what? His publisher was like, yeah, that's the name of this book. That's what I want it to be. And he was like, okay. He figured that they would have read the title and said, no, we can't put this out. But they loved it. And they put the book out. everything about this movie was amazing. And I loved it. Everybody acting in it. And like I said, Sterling K. Brown was the all-star. Every time he was on the screen, he stole the scene. I want a movie of just his character and everything that he does. I think he lived in Arizona, or it was either Arizona or LA, and he was a plastic surgeon or something like that. So but, he was a hell of funny. But yeah, everyone, that is my pick for Best Picture, American Fiction. All right, from the bottom. Number 10, The Zone of Interest. Number 9, The Holdovers. Number 8, Anatomy of a Fall. Number 7, Oppenheimer. Number 6, Maestro. Number 5, Barbie. Number 4, Killers of the Flower Moon. Number 3, Past Lives. Number 2, Poor Things. And my number 1 pick for Best Picture of 2023 is American Fiction. It's not streaming anywhere unless you want to drop $20 and rent it. Would I drop $20? No. I'm buying it when it comes out, though, because I loved this movie. This movie was awesome. But everyone, go. If you guys have seen these, let us know what you thought of the ones you saw. And if you did see all 10 and you want to let me know what your pick is, one of my friends told me he is shooting for Oppenheimer to win. And that, he said that was the only one I saw. So I was like, well, that's, did you see Barbie or any of the other ones? He's like, nah. He goes, I had no interest in any of the other ones but Oppenheimer, only because Christopher Nolan directed it. So, but out of what you've seen, what would you pick?
That's the problem. I've only seen, what, Barbie and Holdovers. So I guess it would be Holdovers.
Oh, man, watch Oppenheimer at least. I mean, you don't have to sit and watch the whole thing. I mean, just
Oppenheimer.
It's a good movie, everyone. But we shall see.
I'll watch your number one when it's somewhere.
All right. Really quick, that's again, sure. Actor in a leading role, Bradley Cooper, Bradley Cooper, Maestro, Coleman Domingo. Rustin, I don't even know what that is. Paul Giamatti, The Holdover. Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer. Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction. Actor in a supporting role. Nominee, Sterling K. Brown. He better win, but I have a feeling. I think it's out of Robert De Niro and Robert Downey Jr. Robert De Niro, Killers of Flower Moon. And Downey is for Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling for Barbie. And Mark Ruffalo, they're saying he's going to win. But has he won anything? At all these award shows?
Yeah, I think the previous ones.
Okay. Actress in a leading role, Annette Bening for Nada, I don't know what that is. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of Fall. Carey Mulligan for Maestro. Emma Stone for Poor Things. Actress in a supporting role, Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer. Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple. That is on HBO or Max. I want to check it out, but my friend said I probably won't like it because he goes, if you love the movie, the Steven Spielberg one, he goes, you ain't gonna like this because it's totally different. But I don't know, I haven't seen it yet, so I'll check it out. America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Nayat, whatever that is, Divine Joy Rudolph for Holdovers. If I gotta pick one out of these, I'm gonna go America Ferrera for Barbie. Is that it for... Okay, directing. Justine Tirit for Anatomy of Fall, Kills of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, or whatever, for Poor Things. Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. And... Was it international? Yeah, international films. I don't. Oh, I guess I saw two of these now. The only two I saw on this for international is Society of the Snow and The Zone of Interest. I'm gonna go with Society of the Snow because I don't even know what those other movies are. But and I hope Billie Eilish wins for her. I think it's a Barbie song. Come on, Billie. What was it? What I Was Made For. There's actually two movies or two songs from Barbie that are up for best original song. But all right, everyone, that's gonna be it this episode. So yeah, just if you guys have seen these movies, let us know what you thought of them, and we'll be back really soon with a regular episode. I think it's 3:05. Also, we got to come back for part two of the, what did I call it? The Zsu's Shagalicious Party. What'd you say? Oh, Zsu's 90s Hip Hop Study. Oh, Study Club or Group? You said Study Group before.
That's fun. That's
all right, well, that's what it is. Zsu's 90s Hip Hop Study Group. Shout out to everyone that listened to that first episode. Over on, it's on our Spotify feed, Spotify for Podcasters feed. So go, if you haven't listened to it yet, go check it out. Everyone that listened to it, right on. And another shout out to Ghetto Geppetto, Roy Miles. He came in at the end. He came at the end of the episode and gave us some stuff on the his perspective of working with Del the Funky Homo Sapien, Deltron. Was it 2020? Deltron what?
30.
Okay, 2020. I knew it was something like that. But yeah, everyone, that's it this episode. So definitely go back, and if you're new to the show, go on over to our Podbean feed and listen to everything we got there. Episode 305 is coming, and part two for the Zsu's 90s Hip Hop Study Group will be up soon. So. With that, everyone, be safe out there. Come back for more. So until then, party on.
Yep. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Till next time, have fun, be safe, and we'll see you next time in society.